Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And in the time that we have left, we're going to go over a few moments with achieving an alien mentality. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Good to see you, fella, in the house. I know he was here. Praise God. How you doing, sir? A little bit better? Good, good, good. Amen. I saw his lovely wife by herself, and I thought, well, maybe she made it, and he was still having challenges. So thank God. He is a healer. He is a healer. My Lord, my wife was flat on her back. 31 years I've known her, never seen her like that. And I told her that what almost killed JR was she had. They kind of had the same thing, but he was coming off from a deficit. So he's a healer. He didn't heal because you came up with some sort of formula. In the name, I rebuke and command and desist in your maneuvers, and you got the right formula. And the guy said, okay, I got to heal. He healed because he sovereignly chose to do so. There were many who have died from this quote-unquote super flu, who have died from it. I don't care what kind of, been in hospitals who have died. He is the healer. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's remember that. Amen. We're talking about alien mentality. We're trying to get to the sermon, Father, and we're going to just let you do how you do. Now, we're talking about, as a result of being an alien, how are we to act? Isn't that what we're talking about now? How are we to act? We told you 1 Peter. Just go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11. Do they know the Bible, books and Bible stuff? Yeah, so let's get your Bible. Let's go. Yeah, so y'all can stay occupied. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11. This is sort of our foundation text here. How are we to act as an alien? What is required and expected of us as aliens, foreigners, strangers, sojourners, exiles in this country called Earth? 1 Peter chapter 2, look at verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers. Now, how are we to act? Number one, abstain from fleshly lusts. We talked about that. Keep yourself from bodily, temporal, unregenerate longings, desires, especially for that which is forbidden, which wage war against the soul, which line up like military soldiers to come against your soul, the seat of your emotions, your feelings, your desires, your affections, and your feelings to come against you. Then 12, keep your behavior excellent and honest among the Gentiles. We went over that last time. In which they slander you as evildoers. Notice we said they slander you. How can they slander you if you are doing that which is good? Because that's the true definition of the contemporary colloquial slang of hating. Drinking haterade. You're doing good. They hate you for doing good. And they speak evil about you because you're doing good. When we talked about Cain, what happened to Abel, rather? He was killed, and then I think it's John asked, why did he kill him? Because his own deeds, Cain's own deeds, were evil, and his brother's righteous. He was killed for being righteous. Same thing for Jesus, Apostle Paul, and so forth. People will slander you, talk about you, call you names, because you're doing that which is good. How many have had family members turn on you or call a name, call you a name, or I know my mother majors in that. Yeah, call you names, kind of turn their back on you when you become saved and do what is right. It's not like, hey, let's embrace it. Hey, no. They're going to slander you as evildoers. When we read St. Matthew 5:11, you don't have to turn there. Remember, he said, when they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, that's them slandering you because of what you're doing that is right. Now, look at, keep reading verse 12. And so that the thing I'm sorry, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Kind of went over that, unpacked it all last week. But they're going to, the ones who are slandering your actions are watching. They're still watching. So what is God going to end up doing through your righteous living? He's going to, through your good deeds, cause them, or use that as the conduit or the thing that brings them to Christ, your righteous living. That's why when they start to slander you, you can't retaliate evil for evil. Right? You're messing up the assignment. Because God may have them slander you and be evil towards you as a test also. Because what happens was, it happens is when they slander you and talk about you and speak evil against you and say all manner of evil against you falsely as an evildoer, and you overcome that evil with good, he can use that to heat coals of fire on the folks' head and say, you know what? My Lord, I ain't never seen one like this. Because if that would have been me, man, I'd have said such and so and so. You're living, remember, you are a living letter, known, first of all, and then read by all men. Amen. That's by design. You are the light of the world, city set on hills that cannot be hid. So when they slander you, they still watching. They don't slander and quit watching. They're still watching. So he says that they may, because of your good deeds, in the verse 12, as they observe them, which means to view carefully as a personal witness, glorify God in the day of visitation. We kind of unpacked all of that. Okay, so let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. How are we to act? And then we could have gone over a whole lot of, a slew of scriptures, but we just kind of just chose a few. Philippians 2, 14. Do half of the things without grumbling. Okay, I'm just checking. Let's see if y'all still reading that with me. What about three quarters? Ain't that 99%? Isn't that 99 good enough? No, Miss Millie. Miss Chicken, no, that's not going to work. He said do all things. All means everything. Without grumbling or disputing. Now, let's break down those two words, because those words in English are different from what it is in Greek. Remember, when he's preaching to a first century Jew, they're hearing the definition I'm about to give and not what we tend to hear about grumbling or disputing. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. By the way, we probably sin against that more than we realize. Amen. Amen. Raise your hand. And God works, can work with that. That's humility, right? Yeah. He's like, yep, that's me. Absolutely. Now help me to get rid of this. So me to understand it. Do all things, and I keep focusing on all things. When he says that, he means it. I know this is. I know. Yep. Pastor, we heard it. This is real simple, but I kind of want you to say la. Pause a comment. Think about that. All things mean all things. That's a big command. Yeah. So we need to slow it down. If you complain about the food, complain about the job. It's hot. It's cold. I don't like my clothes. I don't like my car. I don't like you. We just complain. Why don't you speed up? They're going too slow. I can this boat, bop, boat. We just, you live, you're awake 12 hours, 13, 14, 15 hours. That's a lot of thoughts. Some say, I don't know, 30,000 words. I don't know, at least as many thoughts per day. That's a lot of opportunity to grumble and complain. Am I right? Because you're in situations around people basically all day. We do understand this. So Father, let's pack this. Father God, let's pray. Father God, help us obey this. For real. Because you said all things. Now we see all we see the word all things, but we tend to think half the things. Or if I do pretty much the other, you know, most of them, it's, that's pretty good. But that's still falling short of your command of all things. Help us to do all things without murmuring, complaining, and disputing in Jesus' name. Okay. Amen. So we're on the right place. Amen. I'm hearing all kind of comments through here. Like, help us, Lord Jesus. Grumbling means secret displeasure. That's terrible. Not openly avowed. So you are secretly complaining. So it's not even out loud. Oh my God. That's terrible. Now we know we're guilty of that. Amen. I got a foot raise. I would do them both raised, but I can't stay on the can't stay on the ground. So you inside complaining. And I know I've done that. Oh my. Christmas. Woo, Lord. This getting the father, our toes is being pulverized here. Secret displeasure, not openly avowed, fault finding, complaining. That's all inward. And we think because we're not doing it outwardly, right, Michelle, that we think we're okay. But guess who sees the heart? God does. He sees it. So when you're secretly complaining, and I'm so guilty, I just got to keep preaching because I can't nobody else preach. Because I would sit here and say, Lord, let me just sit down. Because this is tearing me up. When we secretly are doing this, realize from today forward that that's not okay with God. And that we're in sin when we do that. But you know what it was going to help us? To appreciate even more his grace and his mercy. Amen. Because at that moment when we sinned, Emily, he could have took us out. Remember, we don't deserve nothing. He didn't deserve to raise her back off her back. He didn't deserve to leave jail here. He didn't deserve it. Amen. I don't deserve the health I have. I don't deserve it. If my wife died today, I love how she reminds us, be thankful for the 30 years you had with her. Because he didn't owe you that. He owes you nothing. He owes us nothing. Because we've sinned on this probably today. And how many times last week did we sin on this? And it's really tough in your situation in a sense because when you are, you know, you smart as a whip, and you very, very creative and can put things together and move forward, but you know, you're shaking a mover. And when you're sitting up under someone who can't tie their shoes right, and you know they can't, but yet you are up under this person, this becomes a great temptation. Because inside you're like, oh, that dude can't even tie a shoe. Look at his shoes tied wrong. I can run circles around this person. You're in that inward grumbling, but when it hits you, what the Holy Spirit's gonna do is like, stop it. You're doing it. Stop it right now. Yeah, and repent of that sin. And pray for that person. Because that's what he wants you to get to, is to pray for him. So this is a secret displeasure, not openly avowed, meaning openly spoken out. So secretly you're finding fault. Inwardly you're complaining. That's grumbling. Now, that's enough. You say, well, God, that's enough. Why you got to put or? So you can't do this or that. Or disputing. Disputing is questioning and doubting. Questioning and doubting. Now, be judicial in that, right? In other words, there are some things that should be questioned because if it's against the word, will of God and the word of God and so on. We're not talking about that. But, you know, there are people who just question just to tear things up. There really isn't a rhyme or reason for it. They're just doing that just to be that way. How many know people like that? Gee, and they really are tough to be around. You're like, oh, Lord. Everybody in the whole company has agreed. Then they ask, and there's one person, like, oh, as soon as they get to that person, you're like, oh, Lord, here we go. Well, now, why we got it? Just shut up, please. That's what he's talking about. This unnecessary questioning and doubting. Because you just want to keep mess going. You follow that? Not when it's proper. And even then, we're still going to be led by Holy Spirit. I thank God for Holy Spirit. I thank God. Because I can cover a whole lot of stuff by saying, listen, Holy Spirit, just be led. Because he will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you. He's your shepherd, protector, provider, and guide. So just be led on that part. But realize when you're questioning for questioning's sake, there really is no, you should ask questions all the time when you're trying to get a task understood. That's proper. We're not talking about that. We're talking about malignant doubting and malignant questioning. That's not good or healthy for you spiritually or for the relationship. Does that make sense? He said, do everything without grumbling or disputing. Now, here's the reason. Remember I told you, and it's okay to drop a little Greek, grammar on you, because I love it. We sprinkle it within there, but we're not teaching a seminary class. But this is called a henna, H-I-N-A, a henna clause, a purpose clause in the Greek. Whenever you see so that, or therefore, or this is the reason. So H-I-N-A means purpose, or this is a henna clause, or a purpose clause. Here, are we to not grumble and not complain, just to not grumble and not complain, to be good employees? No. It goes way beyond that. Here's the reason, verse 15. So that, we need some water. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent children of God above reproach. That's the reason. We'll unpack that in a moment. So that, here's the reason, here's the purpose for doing all things, everything without grumbling or disputing. Here's the reason, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach. We'll get to the rest of that in a moment. Okay, let's go to the first verse. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Those are some big time words. You mean if I don't hold secret displeasure and fault finding and questioning and doubting, this is going to help me to prove to the watching world that I'm blameless and innocent? Wow, you mean God puts that much weight against not complaining and grumbling? See, yes, he does. That's a lot of weight put to that. So that means we need to take verse 14 very seriously. Does that make sense? If he said do everything without that, then he means everything. And if he said, and if you do that, verse 15 is the reason, then that's the reason. As simple as that. This is from God through the Holy Spirit, through Paul to us. So know it's from God first. Yeah. So this is God personally saying through the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul to us, that I take grumbling and disputing very seriously to the point I don't want you to do it. And no, there's no circumstance in which I allow this. He said, do everything without this. And when you do, you'll prove yourself to be blameless. Blameless means deserving of or having no cause for censure or disapproval. Deserving of or having no cause for censure, C-E-N-S-U-R-E, which is disapproval, which means to reprimand, criticize, or condemn. Censure means to disapprove of, to reprimand, to criticize, or condemn. Nobody will be able, you will be above them being able to disapprove of, reprimand, criticize, or condemn you when you do verse 14. If they do that, reprimand you or disapprove of you or criticize you or condemn you, make sure they do it what? Falsely. Does that make sense? Make sure they do it falsely. So that's blameless. Do I need to repeat that again, the definition? Okay, deserving of or having no cause for censure, which is to disapprove, disapproval, reprimand, criticize, and condemn. Good? That's blameless. Can't do it. Can't touch them. This old hammer time. Can't touch this. Because their life is, you know. Okay, blameless and innocent. Innocent means unmixed, pure. And what was the thing back then was unmixed, pure as wine or metals. Wine was pure and unmixed, and metals were. He says, without admixture of evil, free from guile, innocent, simple. So again, unmixed, pure as wine or metals, because that was the original use of that term. Now, when it comes to putting it in the context here, it means without admixture, or without a mixture of evil, free from guile, innocent, and simple. That's one of the things that, which I love that this verse is here and we're breaking it down, because pastors have the same qualification, but so does the congregation. It's not like there's one standard for pastors. And we are to be free from and guile, and we are to be above reproach. And so we talked about that. But that's also for you, too. Amen. It's not like that. You know, we got one thing. Lord, just let y'all slide and do it. No. These two words really are the same as pastors that he mentions in Titus and Timothy. Mm-hmm. And they go for young folk, too. It's not about getting old. And, you know, you young people in high school, your reputation ought to precede you. It ought to be free from guile, evil, innocent and simple, and pure as wine. And there should be no reason to disapprove or reprimand or criticize or condemn you. It's the same thing for young people. Why? Because we are proven to be what? Children of God. See, that's the key thing. Above reproach, the word reproach means unblemished, free from faultiness, without spot. That's above reproach. You can't find no reason. So you do this so that you prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, or let's go with the words, so that you prove yourself to be deserving of or having no cause for disapproval, reprimand, being criticized or condemned, and innocent, which means you are free from guile, innocent and simple, proven to be children of God above reproach, meaning you're free from faultiness and without spot. And you do all of this in a closet, right? No, it says in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Wow. Folks are watching. It's designed that way, Word of Life. It's designed that way. We're to live as lights in a dark world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You're to live this to prove your children of God in front of God. No, he knows you're his child, or you're not his child. You're to do this so that the world knows you are a child of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Amen. To me, this is not stressed enough in ministries. It's mentioned, but as far as landing there, you are an alien. You are a foreigner. You are a stranger. You are a refugee, an exile. Land there. And because of that, this is how you're supposed to act. Because if you're grumbling and complaining and disputing, then you are living not alongside the house, but what? In the house. That's what everybody else is doing. They look at you as being foreign. That's strange acting there. Everybody come and complain. What is wrong with you? They ought to ask you that question. You're weird. You're different. You're peculiar. That's complimentary. As Mola would say, complimentary. That's what you want them to say. You're a weirdo. You don't act like regular folks. And let me ask you, what's wrong with you? And you ought to go off and shout in the bathroom. That's a good reason to go to the bathroom and just shout all over the bathroom. Thank you, Lord. Just like my mother, when they talked to me, when her family suddenly turned on her, she said, I must be doing the right thing. That's what you should respond. I must be doing the right thing. Let's break down. They said you do this in the midst of or in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation. Crooked is immoral, perverse, froward, difficult to deal with, contrary. Boy, that fits this world, doesn't it? Immoral, perverse, froward, difficult to deal with, contrary. You probably can know that's like, you're right. That's the Lord you just described the world today. Co-workers, family members, you know, difficult to deal with. How many have family members who are difficult to deal with? Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. And perverse. It means to turn aside from the right path. To pervert, corrupt, to distort, to twist. Perverse, again, means to turn aside from the right path. This is the right path, righteousness, doing things that are right. Man with a woman, woman with a man. The womb still being safe. That's the right path. To turn aside is homosexuality, abortion, and so forth. So it means to turn aside from the right path, to pervert, to corrupt, to distort, to twist. And at the root, that word means to twist, which twisting is a turning away from, turning aside. This generation is both immoral, perverse, froward, difficult to deal with, and it has turned away from the right path. It is perverted, it's corrupt, and it is distorted, and it is twisted. That's who we are to live our life in front of. Can you see why? Amen. They need us, in a sense, if God's going to use your life to bring them to Him. Because if they're living all in twisted and distorted living, and they see your living as being straight and righteous, it's to stand out. Hey, y'all, can y'all get that? Are we understanding this?
Amen.
We have a responsibility. I know this is ice to Eskimos, but it doesn't hurt to hear it and hear it and hear it again.
Absolutely.
Because we still aren't living like we should on a daily enough. We do it, I'd like to think, more and more, but enough. And especially when we are tired or hungry, you know, we can get what's called a hangry, the word they call it now. Mm-hmm. You're angry because you're hungry. Well, I used to tell Brooke and Brianna, just because you're not feeling right or you're hungry, you know, you don't have the right to mistreat people, to be disrespectful, to just talk any old kind of way. You don't have the right to do that because you're feeling some type of way. You are still to carry yourself godly.
Amen.
You know, just like a woman who's on her cycle doesn't have the right to just be any kind of way.
That's right.
I understand the hormones are going south and things of that nature, but you still got Holy Spirit who's greater than hormones.
Amen.
And you still, when you're going south, you, Lord Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, help me. I'm feeling really some type of way, and I need you to help me to still be godly. Because you still are expecting me, even at this time, to do all things without grumbling or disputing. You're still expecting me to prove to the world that I'm blameless and innocent, your child. Just because I'm going through this doesn't mean that, you get a pass.
No.
Still working around that all the time. You are, just because you're angry and things are not going your way, you have your double arms folded up and you look in some type of way that you can just start acting any kind of way because you're not happy. And we tend to think, well, I'm mad and things aren't going right, so I have the right to not be godly and righteous in front of a crooked and perverse generation.
So consciously, yes, sir.
Right. If it's not consciously, you think subconsciously you do. Very good. Which is he's the most subtle beast of the field. Because the Holy Spirit covers all areas, conscious and subconscious. Amen. He'll tell you, chill out. Go to the bathroom. Sit your raggedy self down for a moment. Just shut up. I was feeling some type of way. I was sleeping tired. I'm driving out to CJR and then drive to the game and driving. I'm sleepy, falling asleep at the wheel, there and back, and still had to go somewhere else after that. And I'm just tired, and I wasn't. But I thank God for great Holy Spirit coaching. He's a great coach. He said, just don't say nothing. When you're feeling some type of way, one of the greatest things to practice is the vocabulary of silence. Just be quiet. And he'll coach you into that. Just be quiet. And I knew I was feeling that type of way, so I wanted to make sure that my words were few. Baby, will you drive? Because we had somewhere else to go. She said, she didn't mind driving. I was so grateful. She said, you ain't got to do nothing, just throw on your jogging suit. Because we had to go to a banquet. I'm like, that was great. The Lord rewarded me for shutting up. I didn't have to try to pick out no tie, no suit, no this. I just throw on the jogging suit. I can go sit in the car and wait for my baby. He'll coach you. Because he's serious about his commands. They're not commands to be given. Just say, oh, that's nice. Oh, was that word good? I said, hate that. In a sense. Especially back in the day, you know. Because that was like tradition to say, well, that was a good word. And they just gone about their business doing nothing. The word ain't good if you're not, it's good in a sense, but it's not good for you if you're not going to internalize it and obey it.
Right.
Because my thing is, if it's good, make sure you take it home and do it. Glory be to God. Because actions speak louder than words.
Amen.
So we're to live our lives in the middle of smack dab, and you are smack dab in the middle of a crooked and perverted, not but a generation. Every time you go to work, every time you're in the midst of your family, every time you're at the grocery store, every time you're driving. And driving now is very precarious because of the crater-sized potholes that you have to dodge and running off the road and almost running other people trying to get away from the potholes. You're in multiple near accidents every day, dodging potholes, but you got lanes on both sides. You're mad at the potholes. You're mad at you almost hit somebody. They mad because they got potholes about to hit somebody. You got a bunch of angry folk. At this point, Holy Spirit, do your thing. Coach me. And one thing he may tell you to do is go down a different road. They got less potholes. I'm serious. Hear him. He's a great coach. He needs you to be locked into him so that we don't grieve and or quench the Holy Spirit. Am I in the right place? And then last, he said, a crooked and perverse generation among whom you, look at this, appear as lights as in the world. You are the light of the world. Didn't that fit Matthew, right? You appear as lights. You do this. You prove to be my child amongst a crooked and perverse generation, which are synonyms for darkness, crooked and perverse, dark, among whom you appear as lights. You're the light. That's why he moved on a quiet young lady to go up in front of her family and tell them about the testimony, what God has done, as Miss Meeling did. Because that's the light. I'm putting the light forth. That's why when you're in situations that are challenging and hard and difficult, when it's very dark, crooked, and perverse, you're the light.
Yes, thank
you. You're where you're supposed to be. And the young people are where they're supposed to be. That's why parents must do their jobs with the little ones. We don't think, oh, well, wait till they get a certain age. No, it's dark in elementary school. It's dark in kindergarten. My Lord, there's some kindergartens now, boy. If they could kill, they would right then. Just me, kindergarten, 5 years old. What age group you work with?
3 and 4, you can see some darkness there, don't you? She said lots at 3 and 4 years old.
Look at the last part. Look at that again. Among whom you appear as lights in the world. And then begin a part of verse 16. Holding fast the word of life. That's what we do. Father God, I'm praying right now that we understand our role as aliens and foreigners and strangers. It's a crucial, critical role that we're playing, Father, that we are involved in. Help us not to take it lightly. It's not okay ever to disobey your word for any reason, Father God. Amen. For any reason. You are so merciful. You are so gracious. Way beyond we can even ask or think or even realize unless you tell us. We beg of you to continue to remind us to do everything without grumbling or disputing.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Let every heart say.
Amen.